Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shy and Destin. And yes, I'm in a much better mood than I was the last time I spoke to you guys, coming off that drubbing the Cowboys put on us. But now we're looking ahead to a bye week, man. Much needed rest and relaxation. Destin, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. The good thing with the bye week is you look at it and you're like, man, we cannot be embarrassed on national TV this Sunday. Can't happen. It's
Absolutely.
impossible.
Literally impossible. Destin gave y'all the teams that y'all need to be rooting for. If y'all didn't hear it, it's at the end of last week's episode. Well, 2 days, our last episode, that was 2 days ago. You should be able to find it somewhere in there. But we have a ton of Twitter questions to get to, and we decided to make this a fan episode where we strictly answer Twitter questions. Destin, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, our first question is from Patrick Rye. I got his name right, Destin. You remember he wrote us
Hey,
telling us the correct
practice makes perfect.
pronunciation.
Practice makes
Exactly.
perfect. If you let us know how to pronounce it, we will get it right.
I promise
We are
you.
men of our word.
Yes. And we're a great movie directors, as you will see later. Got to stick around for that nugget, though. Okay, Patrick Rye's question is, how relieved is Shaq that the Colts didn't put in a waiver claim for Baker Mayfield? First, I'm going to say thank you because that means you listened to the last episode in its entirety, because I literally said that at the end of the episode. But for the people that missed it, I told Destin that if the Colts put in a waiver claim for Baker Mayfield, I would shave my head bald.
You
Thank
later got
God.
you later got scared and said it would only be if you were rewarded him though.
Well, and the crazy thing is, if the Colts didn't put in a waiver claim, by the way, for those of you that missed it, but had the Colts put one in, they still wouldn't have got him anyway, because the Rams, who had a higher claim than the Colts did, decided to claim Baker Mayfield and was later announced as the only team that actually put in a claim for him. So that's the answer to part one. Part one, I'm extremely relieved. I'm grateful. I'm at the age now, if I shave my head bald, it might not grow back. So I'm gonna celebrate that victory. Okay, question number two. When the Colts draft, confident guy, when the Colts draft a quarterback, should they also sign a cheaper veteran with similar skill set for the young guy to learn from, or toss him into the fire immediately? I guess we could hit that one really quick, Destin. What you think?
It'll be hard. If you get a mobile guy, it would always be better for me to have like that stopgap type that will kind of get the offense ready for a guy like that. Because I know me, if you've listened to our show, we're me and Shad both big Anthony Richardson guys. I think we both agree on that. If you listen, you guys know that. And on the contracts for next year, the only quarterbacks on the roster will be Matt Ryan and Nick Foles, unless there are some retirements. Neither of them are going to prepare anybody for Anthony Richardson. They may do the opposite. The offense may have a panic attack when Anthony Richardson would come in after seeing those two. But the cost to get both of those guys off the books is not going to be cheap. So it'll be interesting how they maneuver it this offseason. But I 100% think the best method or the smartest way to go about it would be to get a guy of a similar skill set to prepare the offense.
Destin wanted to say Marcus Mariota just now so bad. But moving on to number three, because this question was a three-parter. You have something to say?
No, I didn't say any names.
Okay. Number three is, knowing that rookie QBs very rarely have success in their first season, Colts fans should expect another year of pain. If we know this is coming already, should a potentially new GM just blow the team up and stack 24 and 25 picks for two massive drafts like the Jets just had?
There's a lot of ways for a new GM to come in and do things. And we are under the indication that we believe it'll be a new GM. Even if it's Ballard, there's going to be a lot of ways you can maneuver these next couple of drafts. I think it's always great if you can stockpile picks in a manner. Even if they don't, though, I don't think it's a big deal if a rookie is not ready to play day one. And I think the difference between the pain of this season and the pain of a rookie having those learning curves is you see the end of the tunnel with a rookie. Like you see a way out. The problem with where the Colts have been is we've been in a one-way tunnel. We've been in a dead end. and heading up to where we know eventually is going to be a stop, turn around, and restart move. And we just have never turned around. We just keep heading towards that dead end ahead of us. I think that's the difference. It'll be a di I guess it's a different kind of pain if you just aren't a big fan of losing at all, obviously, and you don't even want to go through that with the rookie. But at least it would be some upside pain.
Yeah, pain is a four-letter word, and another four-letter word that you have to look forward to with a rookie quarterback is hope. You know, that's basically what all the team has until you get that guy in. You know, this top five, top 10 draft pick that we're gonna get is built off hope. What we are hoping the Colts could do with it, you know, who we're hoping that they pick, we hoping that person comes in, be the face of the franchise, turn this team around. But when you see that rookie quarterback going through. And like Destin said, going through those learning curves, it's hope that keeps you going. You know, hope of what this guy can turn into, what he can mature into, for him to be that guy that gets you off of that quarterback carousel. Because, I mean, quarterback purgatory is the worst place you can be at in the NFL, man, where you hope you get one of those guys. And that's all that I can really say about the type of pain that the next 1 or 2 years is going to be. And it just really depends on the guy you get. You know, if you get Bryce Young, you get CJ Stroud, those guys can play a little quicker than a guy like Anthony Richardson that's going to need a year and a half maybe to get where he's actually playable and actually effective when he does play. You know, you don't want to throw these guys out there too early and ruin them just for the sake of doing it. You know, you have to have a plan for these guys, and you have to have somebody in-house that can really develop these guys and get them ready to go out there so that when they're put in, you don't have a Zach Wilson type situation where you have to take him out or he constantly looks like he's not prepared. He doesn't know where to go with the football. You know, you don't want those things. And those type of things can ruin a young quarterback early. So to try to avoid that, you know, you go through those lumps and bruises with a lesser talented veteran, but just a guy that can keep it grounded until this guy's ready to go.
Yeah, so moving on here to the next one. Thanks for the three-parter. I think that may have been our first three-parter. We've had a couple
Yeah.
two-parters before, but
Patrick got his money's worth with that question, man.
Patrick really likes to be the first whenever he does something. I like it. So this one's coming from another longtime listener, also longtime question giver, and maybe Shad's either favorite or least favorite name that we've ever rated in at the King of Colts. In your guys' opinion, should we re-sign Yannick? He's getting $13 million a season, and his sacks look good. But I personally don't feel like he gets consistent pressure. How much would you be willing to pay to bring him back?
I'm not opposed to bringing Yannick back. I think the price tag has to be right. I'm not sure you can pay him in a 13 to 15 million range with a guy with his numbers is probably going to command. You know, I like Yannick at around $9 to $10 million per. I would be fine with that. But Yannick, the problem with Yannick is he's not a great run defender at all. You know, so when he's not getting pressure on the quarterback, he's literally useless. Like it's literally no use for him at all. He doesn't give you anything else in any other department. I know the majority of his sacks haven't been quality sacks. They've been kind of the free runner. I saw him get pressured this week on Dak Prescott when he was literally a free blitzer, and you know people was praising him, and I was just like, well, yeah, you know, you kind of. I hope you can do that unblocked, but you know, Yannick has been a little bit too inconsistent for me to give him the kind of contract that he's probably going to command on the open market. So I think the Colts will look to bring him back, but I think it will be at the right price tag, which is probably not, you know, what he's going to be happy with.
Yeah, I mean it's always going to be about the number. I mean this is a business overall and anything else. I think Yannick has bought into the Indy area. I think this is where he wants to be. And a lot of things change with the incoming in-house free agents. If a new front office comes in, none of these guys have any loyalty to these guys. I mean even guys that we'd want back, like it's just a new ball game. We don't know what that's going to look like. For Yannick, I would agree. I think it would have to be somewhere in that like nine. I think I would go up to 12. I the thing with Yannick is I think he has looked good and has created constant pressure when Kwity Paye has been out there. I think the struggle has been as often as Kwity Paye has been out, which Kwity Paye is having a really good season for as many games he's not played in.
Yeah,
Wanted to mention that right now. Like,
stud season.
yeah, he's having five, he already has 5 sacks on the year in a year where he's barely played.
And he's excellent in the run game too,
Yeah.
which
Yeah.
is
By far the best run defender on the edge for this team. But for Yannick, it just sucks. I mean, we're going to keep saying this about so many players, but it just feels like the Colts did not do well at setting these guys up for success, because when Kwity Paye's been injured, Yannick's production goes down because he's the only guy. It is where it goes down to. They just don't have a lot of guys there to make up for the difference. So we'll see if he's back or not, but I think I would go in the 9 to 12 range is what I would pay.
Yeah, sounds about right. Okay, our next question is from our guy Matt Merringer. Matt asks us, what are your top five priorities for this offseason for the roster? Mine personally are quarterback, offensive line, defensive end, cornerback, blocking tight end. Too many people think our wide receivers need fix, but when your quarterback play has been bad, they aren't getting a fair shake, in my opinion. So, well,
Are
just so you don't have to give all five, we can go back and forth. You give one, and I give one.
we going in order, or are we just saying five priorities?
I
Because we're
don't know
going in
if you.
order, like number one, I got you, and like we can go, but
I don't think he said in order, but
what are your top five? I mean,
yeah, he just said, what are your top five
so
priorities?
I'll go the first one, and I'll be more specific. I think quarterback is a big priority, but I want to say quarterback of the future is the priority that I want to mention, because I think the time of these placeholder quarterbacks is over with. You have to have the quarterback of the future on the roster in the next 2 years, and you have to have a plan to do it. I'm only saying in the next 2 years, just because we'll see how the draft board falls, because you don't ever want to force a guy just because the other regime messed up in a sense. But and I think 2 years is the longest leash I can give. The quarterback of the future has to be on this roster within the next 2 seasons, which means then once that quarterback of the future, you can have a stopgap, but it cannot be a guy where you're trading valuable draft assets to get.
Yeah, I'm gonna go quarterback. I think was obvious, pretty front door. So I'm gonna follow up with another one. I feel like it's pretty obvious, and that's offensive line. Now this depends. It depends on how you feel about Bernard Raimann, at the left tackle spot, who I think has shown the ability that he may take another step, that he can take a couple of steps. He has the athletic profile to be an elite tackle in the NFL. I think from an athlete standpoint, it's just a matter of him learning how to deal with power, and how for him to anchor down and hold his leverage when he gets it. It's too many times, he gets thrown off balance just due to a guy just overpowering him, and I think that'll come with time. He hasn't been playing tackle for a very long time. He's dealing with a different level of strength here on the down level in the NFL, and I think it just takes some time to get adjusted to. It's not a lot of tackles in NFL history that come in and play well right from the rookie year. It typically takes a year or two for them to get acclimated into the speed and the power of the NFL, and I think he's no different. So if you're set on Bernard Raimann being pretty good, then you really pretty much only have to worry about the guard position. If you're feeling like Kelly must go because his price tag, which I'm fine with, you have Danny Pinter, who's shown the ability to come in spots and play safety and play center really well. I think it just takes him time and give him some more reps to see what he can do down the stretch. I wouldn't be opposed to him actually getting more snaps down the stretch of this season, because that's what this season is for right now. While you're in this, you're supposed to be evaluating guys and getting a sense on who can do what for you long term. Ryan Kelly is the elder statesman of the offense right now, as far as the Colts go, for his tenure with the Colts. And I think I wouldn't be opposed to moving him if you felt like that can help you free up a couple of extra dollars in salary cap space, and moving on to Pinter, But guard is probably the position I would be looking to address. I think that's actually a position that you can get fairly cheap on a free agent market. It won't cost you a lot of money. But to get a guy that can come in and start right away if you're not happy with the way Fries is developing. But that's another guy that should be getting a lot of playing time down the stretch of the season, so you can really get a good evaluation on him. But the offensive line, if you believe in those young guys, it's not in as bad a shape as it seems. I know nobody probably wants to hear that because of the way we've looked throughout this entire season. But I think you should look to add somebody in free agency, especially at the guard position, because Bernard Ryman is showing me something. You know, he showed me something these last couple of games, and I'm really excited to see what he can do down the stretch. We have some great pass rushers coming in that he's going to get a good chance to see what he got in these next couple of weeks after the bye week.
Yeah, and I would say the offensive line situation. I think Will Fries and Ryman could end up being starters. The problem is you have to get other people in the room that if they aren't, there are suitable play like spot plays. Because one of the big problems with this offensive line is the depth is just horrendous, where there are guys that are going to get asked to play at times that just flat out are not going to be even solid in spot play, and
Matt
that
Pryor.
is it. And that is an issue.
Matt Pryor.
He could be one of
Matt
them.
Pryor.
The next one I'll go edge rusher. Yannick's a free agent, and you cannot leave Kwity Paye as the only notable edge rusher on the outside. I don't care the what manner you go do it. You have to have some respectable presence on the outside next to Kwity Paye, or it's going to be the same situation that we've seen with Yannick when Kwity Paye's been got down. Where we're going to see Kwity Paye get extra presence, extra coverage from an offensive line, from a tight end, and they're going to force someone else to beat them off the edge. And spoiler alert, the below average edge rushers in the league normally don't do it.
Yeah, I think Kwity Paye's I think he's best as a number two right now. I don't think he's ready to be your number one pass rusher on your team, but I do think he's a great number two though. And I just think you have to have an alpha dog pass rusher. So if Yannick's not prioritized this offseason, you have to bring someone in. I can't even say use an early draft pick on it because we know what that draft pick needs to be. So you need to go out there in free agent and maybe sign a guy. Maybe a B-level free agent, but somebody that can come in and give you something off the edge because that's definitely needed, especially if Yannick is gone. So I'll go with blocking tight end. I think that's absolutely pivotal. We've seen a dramatic fall off since Jack Doyle has left, and I know he was taken for granted when he was here. He was just a utility guy. Whatever you needed him to do from the tight end position, he was willing to do. But he did it at a high level, especially blocking. You know, he was a tremendous blocker. You see the coach not even running the ball on the perimeter these days. And that's because the blocking on the edge has not been good, you know, from the tight ends. Even from the wide receivers, they've taken a step back as a whole as far as their blocking goes. So you're not really allowed to run the ball on the outside. Try some of these toss plays, these swing plays. Pitches, you know, anything that you want to do to get to the perimeter, it's not been able to happen because the tight end position has just lacked sorely when it came to blocking. So you want to close us out, Destin? You're muted. Thanks.
I just like that dramatic pause, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'll finish this out. I'm gonna say coverage linebacker. Coverage linebacker can be filled by re-signing Bobby Okereke. The problem is that's going to be a lot of money put into the linebacker situation. So decisions are going to have to be made. I don't think you can let them walk for nothing. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But I think coverage linebacker needs to be prioritized. Zaire Franklin's having a great year. Coverage is not his strength. And Shaquille Leonard, I think the best way to have him come back into form next year is you got to have a good linebacker room around him still, to where he's not being asked to do his old role right away. You do not want him to just be forced to be the linebacker room like he used to be. You do not want to force that on him right away, or it's not going to go well. So I think having a coverage linebacker that can run that role and let Shaquille Leonard do his own thing personally would be the best route to go.
Yeah, man. I think that'll pretty much do us. That's pretty good. I like
Hey,
those ones.
we're really good at this, Rashad. You know, we're really good at making. The next question. is from B-Rod at Coconut underscore Jones. I
I
feel like
feel
we've
like,
rated this.
yeah, we did. I did.
I
We
feel like
did
we
for
rated
sure.
this because we talked about that. I really like Coconut Jones. It's just in like the underscore.
Yep.
But hey guys, what made you more upset slash depressed? Ooh, big word. To be a Colts fan. Last year's collapse or this season's poor showing?
Depressed being a big word is crazy, but I would have to go with, I'm gonna go with this season's poor showing, only because this has lasted for a longer period of time. You know, the collapse, it literally was the last 2 weeks. I mean, of course, you thought about it going into the off season, but football was over with, so it kind of made it kind of easy to pivot to something else. You know, but this one. Hell no, man. It's been dragging since week one when we tied with a team that we knew was one of the worst teams in the NFL. We knew that coming into this season, the Texans was horrible. And that was our first chance to finally get off to a good start. And it didn't happen. And it's been downhill since then, man. So I'm gonna go with this season's poor showing. Which one is it for you, Destin?
I'm gonna go this season's poor showing because this season's poor showing has been the response to last year's collapse, which is embarrassing.
It was
Just
like
like
the
that.
remix.
Oh, it's just so embarrassing that we decided to watch those two games in the end of the year and then just say, you know what would be fun? Let's do it for 18 weeks next year. And that's just kind of where we've been. We've had some good moments, so don't get me wrong. I shouldn't over exaggerate it. Some of us may be wishing that we had 0 wins right now, but. That is not where we're at. And I'm hoping that this team uses this and responds better next season because this was not it. Not it. I won't
At
say I'm
all.
depressed because, wow, that's a little bit of a mean word.
Yeah.
But
And it's a big word.
I am definitely, it has been definitely mentally exhausting to watch, cover, and love this football team.
Right. Our next question is from Poppy 19 at Dito Richards. Coach should give their young talent max playing time. Nick Cross, Jelani Woods, etc. Get ready for next year. Why is Strasser still employed? Remember when Taylor said in the offseason he watched tape and realized he needed to be more patient? That is part of reason for his regression. Once he seen line was underperforming, needs to press the hole more and not give them a chance to fall off or whiff on their blocks.
Man, another three-parter.
Jesus.
First one pretty simple for me. I agree. Let the young guys play out the rest of the year. A guy that's going to be a free agent is Roddy McLeod. You kind of have to make a decision on this right now. Do you want Nick Cross to be a part of this future safety rotation? If that's the case, you're going to need to start mixing him in a little bit, in my opinion. Rodney Thomas has been great. Julian Blackman can be here for a while as well. Time to find out about Nick Cross. And then tight ends. You don't have to get us started. Listen to the last episode. You'll hear that me and Rashad are more than ready for the tight end duo to be Jelani Woods and Kylan Granson moving forward.
100%.
And though like he played 20%. Jelani Woods played 20% of the snaps last Sunday.
And a bulk of that was in a late, like in a fourth quarter.
That's just ridiculous. That can't happen. I'm like Mo'Ali Cox, I have always been a big Mo'Ali Cox guy, don't get me wrong. And they paid him, he's gonna be here. But it's time for those two to get the grunt of those snaps.
Absolutely.
And then the last question on Taylor. Taylor has had struggles that are not just the blocking this year. Taylor's fumbling issues have kind of come back into situation this year, and they are awful situationally. Almost every one of his fumbles has hurt this team at moments of, you know, that have just been huge moments.
Yeah, it's
Block
been
and then
crazy.
and blocking wise. Honestly, he's struggled with it his entire career a little bit, picking up blocks, picking up the blitzes. He did speak about it, but we were told a lot of things going into this year that people were ready to do, and most of them weren't delivered. I remember when everybody was told, tell somebody who was a ex-Colt, don't want to have to say names, still a sensitive subject for some, but someone told people to draft Nyheim Hines in fantasy. I wonder what running back he's ranked right now in fantasy. But
63rd.
either way, I mean, it is an issue. Taylor has to be able to pick up the free blitzer. That is his responsibility. And I have seen some people have been rubbed the wrong way a little bit on his response to being asked about it. Wasn't very him taking the blame. It was saying that there were multiple things going on. Taylor has to be better at it, but multiple people have to be better at other things. To expect a running back to pick up that much of a slack is just never going to happen for just about any blocking running back. So I think there's a little bit too much of expectations on him, but he has to be better. No question about it.
Yeah, and one question that was slid in the middle of that Destin just probably missed is the why is Strasser still employed?
We
He has
don't.
dirt on someone, a
Chris
high-ranking
Strasser.
official.
Dude, I don't think we need to start going down the line of explaining Chris Strasser's job security. We've talked about this. Chris Strasser has had his bags packed since like week three. Nobody's coming to get him though. His Uber has never arrived.
Right.
That's got to be what it is. Like his Uber is just lost somewhere in Indianapolis. This Uber is looking for this man, just can't find him.
That's pretty much the best way to put it.
Next question here. I think this is, I mean, the first at we can rate. This one's from Ruben at the underscore Rubo.
The Rubo?
The
If
underscore Rubo.
his name is Ruben, his at name is at the underscore Rubo. Okay.
Rubo. And
His Twitter bio
his
said,
picture, if you want to know it, is a Colts fan with a paper bag on it.
his bio says one day he's going to make the onions cry. So I'm going to give Rubo, just because I like the name Rubo, I'm going to give that a six. I'm going to give it a six. The underscore is kind of, blah. But the underscore Rubo, I can't go crazy on that. Your name's Ruben, so I get it. I'm going to give you a six.
I'm gonna go 5.5. The underscore is there, and I don't know what a Rubo is. But that
It's just
just
short for Rubo. I mean, I say for Rubo. It's just short for
short.
Ruben.
There's no O in that name. This ain't no short. He's changing things. But hey, power to him. The Rubo, respect you. 5.5, and we roll. What's really going with the Colts? What made them fall off the cliff so fast? Off season, they were Super Bowl contenders, and they now are a laughing stock.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down here, Rubo. The Colts were never Super Bowl contenders. Well, if you listen to this show, which wasn't this show because this wasn't a show in the off season, we were on another show. Shout out to the guys over there at the Blue Stable. I know for a fact, me and Destin both were two people that never felt like this was a Super Bowl contending team. We felt like there was a step under those guys. The Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes, even the Chargers at that time. Now, I can say the Chargers were a team that we thought could contend for a Super Bowl, but we always felt like the Colts was in that next tier, the tier with teams like Baltimore, and I didn't even feel like Cincinnati was a Super Bowl contender. I just felt like they hit luck, they hit a hot streak and they went on a roll. But I felt like the Colts was in those tier of teams, not up there with the Buffalo and the Chiefs and the Chargers type teams. I'm blaming the offensive line solely for the fall off of the cliff. I think the defense has been steady, not elite, but they have been steady, playing good, solid football, hovering around the top 10, as I talked about last week. I think the defense has been that good. I think the defense was good enough to be a Super Bowl contender if you had an offense that was producing at a high level, or even a top 12, top 15 level. Then maybe you could have got on a run and seen what happened. But I'm blaming the offensive line for all this. I think the offensive line has been a demise of so many people. We've talked about it till we've pretty much been blue in the face. I know Destin has spoke about it, and I'm sure he's going to give his reasons on what made the Colts fall off the cliff as well. But I think the offensive line combined with the quarterback play, Matt Ryan just hasn't been up to his standards and what we thought he can be, as the veteran presence and a calming presence to this offense. He hasn't done that. I don't know if he's shell shocked from this offensive line and it's causing him just to not be the same guy that he's been for the last 15 years. He's struggling with things that used to be strong points for him. So I just don't know what exactly is going on with him. But those two factors combined, the Colts having one of the worst offenses in the NFL, I'm sorry. And It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's not a complicated thing. Those two things just pretty much led spearheaded the movement to Frank Wright being fired, Marcus Brady being fired, and this whole team just being in disarray.
But not Chris Strasser. Not Chris Strasser. He did not get fired, if you did not know. But
I need somebody to love me like the Colts love Chris Strasser.
yeah, so what the next question we're gonna talk about is gonna have what's Santa bringing the Colts? I hope the Santa brings me Chris Strasser's job security for Christmas this year. But for the Colts, I mean, to me, everyone had them in that AFC sleeper category. So I wouldn't call them a Super Bowl contender. They were a team that people believe would be better than people thought. This team had too many question marks going into the season to put them in a Super Bowl contender during the offseason. And a lot of those question marks have been answered, and they've been answered negatively. Was the offensive line good enough? No, the offensive line was not good enough. Will Jack Doyle be leaving be a big hole? Yes, Jack Doyle leaving has been a big hole. Will the defense be improved? It has been improved. Will Shaquille Leonard be healthy? He has not been healthy. Will these receivers be good enough? It's been an up and down question. I don't want to say yes or no. There have been times where a veteran receiver still would have helped this receiving room. But for overall, the young guys have shown that they are not holding this team back. And I think that in itself is a positive to where people thought. But to me, that's the overall thing. There was a lot of question marks on this team before the year. The problem in the public and what has led to this disaster fall from grace that was being talked about falling off the cliff is that a lot of those questions have been answered, and it's not a good answer.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. Okay. So, last Twitter question. What's Santa going to bring the Colts with 4 weeks left? This question came from at Kevin D Caps. I don't believe we rated his at name. What you giving at Kevin D Caps?
At Kevin D Caps, I'm gonna guess it's Kevin, first name, D middle initial, Caps last name. I have a pretty set score for when you're able to get your name essentially on there. That's 6.5. So that's what you're getting, Kevin.
I'm not mad at that. I think I'm gonna go with six for Kevin as well. Kevin D, you probably should have capitalized a couple of letters in there to separate, make a clear distinction on
You think his
where
name
his name ends.
you think his last name is DC Caps? Or DC Apps,
Kevin D, Kevin D Caps,
Kevin DC Apps.
DCFs. Okay, so which you feel like Santa's gonna bring the Colts, man?
I think Santa is going to bring the Colts, multiple teams helping the Colts out in draft position.
Fire. Fire.
I think there's going to be multiple teams that are going to win some down the stretch. I understand Baker Mayfield is a very polarizing figure. I think Baker Mayfield is going to help the Rams in a sense that the Rams were in a game with Seattle last week with Bryce Perkins, I believe is the quarterback's name in LA right now. And
Oh,
I
yeah, the third
promise
string
you,
guy.
Baker Mayfield outplays him. And I think Baker Mayfield is going to be asked to do just not too much. But teams like the Rams winning games who don't own their pick anyway helps the Colts. Teams like Denver winning some games down the stretch would help the Colts. And then there's multiple others. The Saints don't own their pick. The Cardinals are going to be in a situation where that division's still up in the air and they could win some games. I think a lot of these teams that are above the Colts are going to help the Colts out and they are going to win some games down the stretch and hopefully get the Colts as close to being at that number five-ish pick as possible.
Yeah, man. I'm just Santa's gonna bring the Colts four losses. Well, actually, he's not gonna bring the Saints four losses. I can't tell you how many losses he's gonna bring the Saints because I have an article that's should be getting printed and released soon for you guys, and y'all can check it out where I predict what the Colts do the next 4 weeks. Well, the last 4 weeks of the season. That's pretty interesting. I give reasons why they do the things that they do. And I'm gonna wait for you guys to check that out. But hopefully Santa brings the Colts a hell of a draft pick. That's all I'm gonna ask for. I know last year Santa gave us a pretty good win against the Arizona Cardinals, where half our team had COVID and was out that game, and a lot of people expected us to lose. But the Colts came through in dramatic fashion, man. So hopefully Santa's good to us this year.
I agree. Hopefully, Indianapolis is on the nice list. And after everything they've gone through this year, let's hope so. Let's hope so. Going into our last question, this one's going to be a little bit of a fun topic. And it's been the first time we've done one of these in a while. If you want to be considered and get your voice a part of the Saddle Up Show, make sure and give us a call, guys, at 317 426-6363, as in the Colts' current interim head coach, 87, and then the Colts' receiver coach, Reggie Wayne. Make sure you're giving that a call if you want to be considered for having your voicemail read on the show. And right now we have one coming from Alex from Indianapolis.
Yo, what's up? First time caller, Alex Golden. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Golden NBA, cover the Pacers. But I am a Colts fan as well, and I'm curious if you could make this Colts season and turn it into a movie. Who would play your main characters for this? Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, Jeff Saturday, Matt Ryan, and then Darius Leonard. All right, boys, good luck.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Golden NBA is his Twitter at. Alex covers the Indiana Pacers over there at his podcast, Setting the Pace, as well as doing his own blog work for the Blue and Golden using his last name. There you go.
That's pretty
But
clever.
if you're listening here and you're a Pacer fan, make sure you give Alex a follow on Twitter and make sure you're supporting his content. But what a question, Shad. If the Colts 22 season was to be casted and made into a movie, who would we cast and why? He gave a list of characters for us to consider and go through. We can go here in a little bit of an order. Let's stop it. Let's start at the top, and I'll let you give who you would cast for this position. So let's start with the owner himself, Jim Irsay. Who is playing Mr. I don't
Are
know how to
you
make
gonna
this
tell him the
offer.
name of the movie?
Oh, do you want me to say the movie title first, or should we wait till the end?
Okay, well, I guess you can wait to the end to build
All
some
right.
suspense. Jim Irsay is going to be played by none other than Here's Johnny, Jack Nicholson.
Here's
Jack
Jimmy from the
Nicholson.
Colts.
Here's Jimmy from the Colts. I actually think Destin came up with this one, and I think it's spot on. Jack Nicholson, Jim Irsay, two older guys, living legends in their respective fields, and I think there's some resemblance if you take a good look at them. I definitely see it, and I wouldn't. I just can't picture anybody else playing Jim Irsay besides Jack Nicholson. If you know Jim Irsay's history,
Jim
I
Irsay
think
would
Jack would kill that
demand.
role.
Jim Irsay would demand to play himself. That's what would actually happen.
He definitely would. 1,000%. He would definitely 1,000% demand to play himself. So,
The
if you
most
tell him.
important scene in this movie for Jack Nicholson is going to be the opening presser announcing Jeff Saturday as the head coach. And I think if you just envision Jack Nicholson saying, "I don't know what goes into making a sausage, but I've had it." Like I could just see Jack Nicholson saying that we are in the upper quartile of the topper quartile of winners.
That is hilarious, man.
I just think Nicholson could sell it.
Well, I mean, since you have Jack Nicholson introducing Jeff Saturday, why don't you tell the people who you selected to be Jeff Saturday?
So I really didn't try to do just appearance. Jeff Saturday was a tough one. I think there's got to be some humor in this movie, and I think the character playing Jeff Saturday. We did Zach Galifianakis. I think Zach Galifianakis could resemble Jeff Saturday enough and bring some comedic relief. There's going to be a lot of Jeff Saturday pressers in this movie, and you're going to have to see him on the sideline a lot. And I think Jack Galifianakis can bring energy, and I think he can bring humor to a situation where, if you're a Colts fan watching this movie, you're going to need to laugh, or this is going to be a rough evening.
Yeah. So where are we going next? Who are we gonna go with next?
Well, we've went owner, we've went new head coach. Let's go the other person that was in the press conference. Didn't get to talk much, But current Colts GM Chris Ballard.
Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard is going to be played by another Chris. And this is Chris Pratt, Mr. Star-Lord himself for my MCU fans out there. Chris Pratt would absolutely smoke this role. I believe he can even do the Chris Ballard accent. The facial hair is a dead-on giveaway. Just give him a little gray dye to get that thing nice and gray. And I think he would absolutely kill his Chris Ballard role.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt, if you guys don't know, is a little bit of a stubborn man in the Hollywood scene, and has known to
That's
have some
putting it
very
nicely.
strong opinions. And I think playing said character, he'd be right at home. That's all I'll say. I think he'd be right at home playing Mr. Ballard. And what a career he's had that he can play Mario and Chris Ballard. I mean, what else do you need, right?
Look at the range.
The range there. He may use the Mario voice, who knows? Next up, I'm gonna go ahead and do Frank Reich. He's gonna be a pretty important character, and I can't wait to see this guy act out the scene of being texted that he's fired. We're gonna go Sam Elliott in that legendary mustache. He's gonna have to get his facial hair trimmed up a little bit, but I think he has a very similar facial shape as Frank Reich. And Sam Elliott, I'm gonna be honest, of this entire cast, maybe Chris Pratt. There's a couple guys that we're gonna have to spend some money on to get this cast together, but Sam Elliott has been around and has done a lot of good things. Like he's gonna cost some money, and I think Frank Reich's character is very important in this movie. So we're gonna have to get someone big, and I think Sam Elliott could do it.
No, this budget is definitely going to put us in the negatives. We need this movie to sell. We need this movie to be box office when it comes to who's going out to support this movie. So we have next.
Who I think you came up with this one, so let's go ahead and let you do
Oh yeah.
QB1, Matt Ryan.
QB1. QB1. If you notice the people that I'm getting the pleasure of announcing, Chris Ballard, Chris Pratt. So now I'm going with Matt Ryan, and we're going Ryan Reynolds, another MCU guy, another
Matt
Deadpool.
Ryan, Ryan Reynolds,
They
man.
got to do the science, man. You have to do the science. I think Ryan Reynolds is great for this role, especially if you look at his role in Deadpool. Deadpool can take an unimaginable amount of pain and keep on going. Matt Ryan this season has taken an unimaginable amount of pain, and he's still ticking. I know a lot of people feel like Matt Ryan should be benched. And that's another conversation for another day. But for this movie, we needed somebody who could take an insurmountable amount of pain and still keep on going. And there's nobody better than Ryan Reynolds.
I would even say that the first time he played Deadpool in the X-Men movies, there was a lot of buildup for the role, and then people felt like it fell short and just was a disaster. Which is kind of funny when you think of the Matt Ryan experience in Indianapolis.
I never even thought about that. That's hilarious. So, Destin, you got one more. And
We have a pretty another character that we were asked if you guys heard the voicemail, Shaquille Leonard. So I'm gonna be honest with you guys. You heard all our other actors. We spent our budget. That budget be spent. No money left over. Shaquille, his role in this season is pretty minimal. So I think we can get away with having some first-time actor having his big break playing Shaquille Leonard. So we didn't have a name, but we are open to suggestions. So when this episode comes out, you guys could maybe give us some, but just know that it's gonna have to be some bottom dollar stuff. Hopefully somebody who just wants some experience maybe over money, going the extra route almost, because Shaquille Leonard's just not gonna have much of a he's not gonna have many lines. That's what I'll say.
In this movie, this season, maybe the next season of the show, if it's a recurring thing, yeah, I'm sure his part will be much, much bigger. Destin, go ahead and tell the people the name of the movie.
So you guys did wait, and I think the only phrase that we all can think of when it comes to this season is all chips in, but I think a question mark has to go at the end. So coming to a theater near you, all chips in?
You have to say it like that too. You can't just say it directly. All chips in. It's almost like you have to say it while scratching your head
And in
at
the
the same time.
trailer, the end of it is going to be Jack Nicholson reenacting the end of last season's video of Ursay getting on his jet, where he's just talking about the all chips in. That is the end of our trailer.
As it fades to black, Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, Frank Reich holding hands, going off into the sunset, and Jeff Saturday hits Frank Reich with a car and picks up Jim Irsay, and then they ride off and leave Chris Ballard walking. That's probably pretty much the end of the movie. That's how the movie ends. But man, this has been another episode of the Saddle Up Show. Destin, do you got anything for the people before we get up out of here?
No, I mean, enjoy the bye week. Some stress-free football this week. No Indianapolis Colts to ruin your weekend. So
Absolutely.
enjoy it, everyone. Everyone should be in the last week. If not, you're in your fantasy football playoff. So good luck and good fortune to all of you that made your fantasy football playoffs. I know I will be rooting for some Bengals who I have some heavy stock in for this playoff.
Unfortunately, my team is full of Green Bay Packers, Indianapolis Colts, and it's another team that I have
Rams,
that's on a bye this week. No, the Rams play this week. The Rams play
Saints.
Thursday. Is it Saints?
I don't know. I
It
don't
might
know.
be the Saints. Hold on. I want to get this correct because I'm hurting that my whole team's on a bye. Washington. I have Terry McLaurin. I have Terry McLaurin. And oh man, this is killing me. The lineup I'm rolling out is not good, and I need to win this game to get into the playoffs. So we'll see how this goes. Hopefully, Jalen Hurts continue to carry me as he's been doing for the bulk of this season. But yes, this has been another episode of the Saddle Up Show with Shy and Destin. We will see you next week when we're previewing the upcoming game against the Minnesota Vikings. Peace.